From the UGA Mentor Program, this is Real Talk. Hi, everyone. This is Real Talk, a UGA Mentor Program podcast where UGA students have authentic conversations around work, life, school, and career. My name is Destiny Lloyd, and I'm one of the members of the UGA Mentor Lab team. Today, we're going to have a conversation around being a Hispanic or Latinx student at the University of Georgia. Joining me is one of our UGA Mentor Program ambassadors, Ariana Romero Flores, and UGA Mentor Jen Kaufman. Ariana, we'll start with you. Can you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Yes, definitely. So, like Destiny said, my name is Ariana Romero, and I am a current senior at the University of Georgia, majoring in finance. My graduation is coming up soon in 2022, so yay. I'm super excited for that. And I am also have to mention that I am originally from Ecuador. A lot of people think I'm an international student, but then I was like, no, thankfully, I mean, I'm not an international student. And the reason why they think that is because of my accent. I came here in 2016. So it's been a short journey, but a wonderful one. So
that's good. Thank you so much for being here. And Jen, will you tell us what you've been up to since graduating from UGA, what you studied at UGA, just a little bit about who you are?
Hi, my name's Jen. My pronouns are she, her, ella, and I live in Washington, D.C. When I was at Georgia, I studied political science as my minor, and then my major was in the Grady School. Public relations was my focus. And kind of ever since then, I've really done a lot of advocacy, political work, really at the intersection of traditional communications, digital communications, and organizing. And so it's been a really fun, diverse experience, which I think really kind of matches my like neurodiverse, like ADHD brain. It's been really wonderful to kind of mentoring and sharing my experiences with mentees, but also, you know, hearing from them what they're interested in doing, like kind of how UGA's changed, what they're learning, and just really kind of sharing ideas across.
Wow. I love it. It sounds like you have definitely a rich history and background of experiences, and I'm excited to dive into those. But I think to get us started, I would love to hear from both of you. How did you end up choosing UGA, and what was your journey like getting to the University of Georgia?
I'll start. I figured this question was coming, and it's, I think, kind of interesting because, you know, I think as a child of, you know, parents who didn't grow up in the country, the understanding of like how college worked was very different, right? I think that there are kids who, you know, particularly thinking about like the Atlanta suburbs, et cetera, who kind of know, you know, what's the process? Like you do the campus visits and like you get the SAT books and, you know, that there's a process. And I really didn't quite have that, right? The like institutional knowledge wasn't there in our family. And so, you know, I'm a little older than y'all. And so, you know, kind of back then, even like having access to the internet at home wasn't like a thing that everybody had. And so my resources were really limited in terms of like what I could learn about my available options outside of that. Kind of, I knew about community college as an option. And hope was, I think, really kind of a godsend. And so I ended up actually being accepted to Georgia, having never stepped foot on campus, because to have traveled to Athens would have been like kind of a significant ask, you know, for my family. And so the first time I stepped foot was, you know, an orientation. So it's like, I was already committed. Like this is, and I remember kind of like traveling into Athens being like, whoa, this is different. you know, I think I feel so privileged and fortunate to have had the experience that I had at UGA. I think that sometimes we all assume that everyone has the same kind of understanding or roadmap or pathway to college. And I think that that's not necessarily universal. And it also helps us to remember that that sometimes that people who are there have a more tenuous connection and so might need extra support in order to help navigate them on campus.
I think those are all really great, valid points, Jen.
No, definitely. And let me tell you that I definitely relate to your story in a more like deeper way, because when I came here to this country, you just mentioned the Latin American families. I came here in 2016 with literally two bags and that's it, and an airplane, and that's it. No, a lot of family here, just landed in Georgia because I have some of relative here, but they were not close family. They were family. And it was a whole different experience, starting, you know, as a server. And then I knew I wanted higher education. Nobody in my family knew about UGA or any other college, right? I knew I wanted to pursue higher education, and therefore I started researching on my own. I didn't know what FAFSA was. I didn't know what HOPE was. I didn't know about anything, not even English at 100%. So it was a whole journey that I had to go through to get where I am right now, which of course I'm also thankful for that. And when I came here, what I had to go through is I have to wait 1 year and then being able to go to college. And also to receive HOPE, I had to wait 2 years. And that is why when they told me I was able to wait, my time was coming up, like I was going to be eligible for HOPE, then I was like, okay, why not? You know, let's think about something, a bigger university. So I started researching. I never visited UGA campus before as well. So we definitely have that in common. But I saw that I always wanted finance. I know that one for sure. Like I always wanted finance, and I was committed to get a finance degree. And at Georgia Gwinnett College, when I started, I was an international business because back then they didn't have a finance program. So I started researching and I saw they have the highest percentage of students get a finance degree. According to their statistic, I literally just Googled and I was like, okay, you know, let's give it a try. I didn't even know how impactful UGA was in the general in workplace or environment. Just by telling someone I got accepted to UGA at the beginning, everyone was like, oh wow, that's nice. I'm like, you don't realize how impactful that is. And then when I literally applied and committed, the first time I went into campus, it was when I was in the orientation time, in orientation day. So the same as you, when I got here, I was like, wow, it's just like the movies. It's just like Harvard, right? Internationally, we think about Harvard, Yale, just like the movies. That's what I used to watch back in Ecuador. And when I got here, I saw it like right in front of my eyes. So it was a different like shock and experience while going through the different buildings. Also, what caught my attention was the fraternity and sorority buildings. That I was like, wow, these are mansions. You know, I was like, it's literally just like the movies. It was just a different reality that I experienced when I got on campus during the orientation day. And I came alone as well, because, you know, my parents have to work. I mean, I'm used to being independent since I came here. And so that was my short, long experience.
That's great. And thank you for sharing that.
I wanted to also get into, or how and why did you decide on studying public relations? Like what called your attention into choosing that major? Because I know University of Georgia offers so many majors, minor certificates. What made you choose that public relations?
Oh my goodness. Well, I think I kind of like narrowed down like what I studied. At one point I was like an education major, and I actually was very young and had transferred in with a lot of credits because of AP credits. And I realized I was going to have to start student teaching incredibly early. And so I didn't want to be in the classroom like at a very young age teaching. So I switched, and I ended up, I landed originally in, I think, in political science because of at that time you had to like then apply to Grady. Then additionally, at some point I ended up like taking geology. I loved it. So I tacked that on as a minor. I mean, I think I would have like just continued to stay. Like I was like, can I add art history? And they're like, no, you got to focus and graduate. So I think that there was just so much I loved, and it was very hard for me, especially as somebody who again has ADHD. The interesting thing though, is that I wanted in like 1999, I was on campus and I really wanted to work in a political campaign. And one thing that I wanted to learn was I thought that the digital age was upon us, and that in campaigns, the way to make yourself stand out was to like know how to build websites and that kind of stuff, right? I mean, back then this was, you know, very rudimentary stuff. And so I, you know, in my mind, public relations then, I think is kind of like now. The program that I wanted didn't exist at that point. And I think now it exists in like the new media certificate and like kind of all the other opportunities that students have. But back then I actually would sneak into the visual arts lab, like, you know, at the end of the day, and just, you know, try to like teach myself like Photoshop and, you know, using Dreamweaver and, you know, teaching myself HTML. And I ended up like building a website, and then I submitted it to one of the presidential campaigns. It just was kismet, because what ended up happening was they were moving headquarters. Some of their core staff left, and they ended up actually offering me like as a paid job, like position on staff, versus like I was just hoping for an internship. So it was wild. I was like 20 years old working on the Gore campaign as staff. So, you know, in my mind, I kind of had to like build through like really scrappy ways the kind of like studies that I wanted to do. And I think public relations and political science is kind of like the best intersection of that. But I think right now, as I'm hearing, you know, some of the mentees that I've met with, that's more intersectional now, and it's more natural and connected in a way that I think it wasn't. And I'm just really excited about what that means for students now, because I think it means that, you know, not only are they learning so much more, but I think that, you know, you'll enter the world more prepared and better able to pursue the careers that, you know, you want to.
Okay. So I see that you mentioned that the mentors that you have had now, but what about back in 1999? How was like being an Hispanic student at the University of Georgia?
Oh my goodness. I remember this experience where I was walking across the bridge past the stadium, and there was a student, and we walked past each other, and she was Latinx, Latina, you know, Hispanic. And we both looked at each other, and it was kind of that like, acknowledgement, like, oh, it's you. And I say that because there was just not a lot of us on campus. And the kind of most predominant like constituency of like Latinx students was really the international students, right? And so when you would go to like Hispanic Student Association, it was mainly like the international students, you know, it'd be really focused on like salsa, merengue, and all that kind of stuff. Actually, I was in a coffee shop downtown once, and this white student came up to me and he was like, hey, can you teach me how to Latin dance? And I was like, okay. I don't know how. And he was like, wait, but you have to, you're Mexican. And I just was like, it was such a different world, you know, kind of we were the few of us that were on campus. It felt like hard to connect. It felt like we were treated a bit like a monolith. And yeah, it just was a bit of finding yourself and finding each other back then.
Oh, wow. I mean, that's pretty interesting. Currently, there's, of course, a higher number of Hispanic students. And also you mentioned that you were involved in the Hispanic Student Association, where I have been involved as well. And there is a bigger number, but I can also relate to that, as currently I'm a finance major, right? So we're talking about a highly competitive major. And I am always the only one, the only Hispanic in my room.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, I wish there were more Hispanic. And there was one time a few weeks ago that we were presenting. I'm also part of the executive board for the Association of Latino Professions for Americans. So we were presenting in an HSA event. And I asked, how many of you guys are applying to Terry? Out of about 35 or 40, there were only six. And I started thinking, how many of the six are applying into finance program? Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, we don't have many people. And I don't know why, you know, I wish I knew why, because it is, it's impactful. I mean, this program is great. It has so many opportunities outside. So it's not easy. I can tell you that for sure. It's not easy at all. If I go through my experience, you would not believe what I went through. I failed. I mean, I didn't get accepted the first time, not the second time, but the third time. Mm-hmm. And I was persistent. I was committed. Not everyone is, I always try to share that because I want people to be strong enough to keep going and not let failure get you. So I'm a big advocate for that. It's okay. It's not success. It's not the same for every, this doesn't look the same for everybody. So you have to think like that. Terry applications results are coming up soon. And that's why I'm referring to this. Going back to what you were saying and when you were involved at HSA, how was your experience? How did that impact you?
Yeah, that's so interesting. I think that, and thank you for sharing that too. I mean, I definitely could relate. Again, being often the only Brown student, you know, not just, you know, Latinx student, but, you know, Brown student in a classroom, you know, as you get into your 300 and 400 level classes is something I definitely can relate to. But I think that in terms of what my experience was there, you know, I think, again, back then, it was really an organization that was more focused on cultural exploration. So focused around like, you know, there was a lot of dance classes. There were, you know, cultural opportunities to like try different cuisines, et cetera. I am just so blown away by Latinx students now and just, you know, the dreamer generation. And just, I think that we understand ourselves and I, because of the generation after me, understand ourselves so much better as like, not just, you know, a Latin cookbook and like a Latin dance, like that we have a richer experience kind of beyond that. And I think that, you know, seeing people come together to explore like the richness of our identities is something that I think there just wasn't enough of us and enough of kind of like, I think of an awareness or that awakening to quite engage in that. And I think the other thing that I was thinking about was that I think of how much I often had to split myself because I remember that the HSA meetings were at the same time as the Young Democrat meetings. And so I had to like sit there and decide, well, who am I? Like I had to pick between identities.
Wow.
And I say that I had to pick between identities because if I didn't go there, then I wasn't going to be connecting with the other Latinx students, right? And mm-hmm. So because I knew that I wanted to go into the political arena, I ended up kind of choosing the more like career-oriented, like, you know, club. But it then meant that it came at a price of like not being able to connect with as many, you know, Latino students. And so that felt isolating too, right? Like it's like, I really had to choose between identities. Like you can't be both.
And that's interesting to know because now as of today, there's so many Hispanic led organizations that, for example, let me just give you an example. I sometimes have to choose like between, as an exec board of the Alpha, I have to choose, do I want to go to HSA or Alpha, so Alpha organization. But in this case, I get what you're saying, but this is the organization that I'm involved to. It's also committed to Latino professional. So since we have now more diverse organizations within the Hispanic Student Association umbrella, there are more opportunities that can also now public relations majors, student affairs majors can be impacted by organization and also share with their own community, right? And as an example of that, the Association of Latino Professional for America, they are huge. They have a huge umbrella, the Nationals. And not long ago, since this is a new organization as well, we have a great opportunity to go to the Alpha Convention. We were not decided to go. It was like a new selected executive board. We didn't know each other. It was a 5-day convention. It happened in Orlando in a hotel by Disney Resorts, by the Disney World. So it was amazing. And so we were a little bit hesitant to go and experience these opportunities. So we ended up going, 5 of us, and it was the best thing that we could have ever done. We didn't know how impactful this organization was going to be on us. And not to mention that there were so many companies. We're talking about not a small companies. We're talking about 1,400 companies. So that was really amazing to see that. And also the opportunities were endless that almost, well, not almost, like we all get offers from that convention. Like they were doing interviews at the spot, they were giving offer at the spot. And that's the reason why I'm currently have my, well, I accepted an offer at my company, which is Bank of America. That's what was one of the lead sponsors of the convention. So that was really impactful for me to not also see the different companies, but also know other students, not only from UGA, from all over the country, all over the US, that identify themselves as Latino or Hispanic.
That's so interesting. And I think I'd love to ask you, like, what were times that kind of stand out in your mind where it was just like such, I don't want to say culture shock in a bad way, but like, you know, things that were just so different from your, you know, experience, you know, since coming to the US or, you know, coming from to campus. Like, I'm just kind of curious, where were those like moments where you're like, whoa, this is completely different than the experiences that I've had prior to this?
Okay, I can say one, and this is gonna be funny. So I know for sure all my friends are in Ecuador and they all almost graduate. So universities in Ecuador and almost in, I cannot talk about Latin America, but usually in general in Latin America, they are completely different, like social wise. When you go into a room in Ecuador, whether it's your first semester, second, last, I mean, it doesn't matter. You like literally, you know, everybody. People will approach you. They like going out. So when my friends tell me that, I'm like, oh, you know, sometimes I wish it was like that here. But that was a shock at the beginning. And well, that hasn't changed that much. That when I go into a class, into a classroom, I can leave without knowing anybody. You go in, you know, you even if you have a project group, it's the project group, it's for the project. And that's it. Like, it's not like you make friends out of the group project. It's just, they're there to do what they have to do. And that's it. Get the grade and that's it. I wish it was different compared to Ecuador, which sometimes I'm like, oh, my friends got shocked. They were like, how you leave without knowing anybody? How do you do that? Like here, it's completely different. And I'm like, well, I don't know, but that's how lifestyle here is, universities are here. So I really don't know how will that change in the future, but that was definitely a shock that I had to live with during all my almost 5 years during college. By the way, I have to say something. When I was in the Georgia Gwinnett College, my experience was a little bit different though. Similar, but a little bit different. We're talking about in Georgia Gwinnett College, they have 30-40% Hispanic folk population, which I just learned from that. The one of the executive board at Alpha Atlanta, it's from a professor from Georgia Gwinnett College. So we were having a conversation like that. And I was sharing also my experience that I wouldn't know how I would have made it without my experience at GGC, because in the classroom, it was similar, but not at the same time. Since I was able to see more Hispanic population within the classroom, I was able to connect. In each class, we had like a one or two Hispanics that we'll connect to and we'll help each other to get good grades. And that is exactly why I was able to be successful before getting into UGA. If not, I don't know how I would have done it. And without knowing any English. And some of my the people that I met while in classroom, they didn't even know they speak Spanish as well. So that we had that in common. We were learning even in Spanish and English, of course. But that was a difference. It's still similar. Like you're not like getting to know the whole classroom. It's same as here. But since I was able to see other people like me, we were able to connect more.
I wonder too, you know, I think that makes it harder sometimes, right? The social networks are you know, by these stratas of like, you know, the high school that maybe that students came from, or the Greek organization that they belong to, right? And that some of those connections, like if you're not part of that community, then it's kind of, you know, hard to break into and make those connections within your classroom. I do think that there is something advantageous, like coming to the classroom with, you know, a Latina background, an international background. You know, I spent a lot of time in Mexico when I was a kid. My family, I still have family on both sides that live there. And I feel like I was able to bring that perspective into the classroom, and it made it a much richer experience for me, especially like, you know, understanding, and I would imagine for finance, it's incredibly informative, right? Because I think that people are very fortunate to, you know, if they've always lived here, they, you know, understand, you know, a very stable, like financial background. We haven't had like, you know, major, you know, we've had recessions for sure, but nothing like, I think, kind of the financial crises that other, you know, countries have experienced, the tragedies and war that, you know, Latin America and South American countries have experienced. I was able to have a more comparative experience and appreciation for, and just like the connections in my brain sometimes were easier because I had that ni de aquí, ni de allá, like perspective.
Oh, no, that's awesome. I also wanted to know, back in when you were in college, if you found, did you find a mentor? Were you able to have the opportunity to have a mentor?
A professor that was in the, back then it wasn't international affairs, it was political science, but he taught one of the classes. Dr. Chris Allen was somebody who I think, you know, I felt sometimes like really lost, kind of a bit unsure of, you know, finding myself still in this place where, you know, I was figuring out my identity and figuring out like where other people who had those shared experiences, you know, were. And I think because his class, you know, often covered that, you know, international experience, I think that there was this, I felt understood in a way in his classroom. And we kept in touch for years. Anytime he was in DC, we would have lunch. I would update him from, you know, whatever campaign I was on. He passed away from esophageal cancer a number of years ago, about 10 years ago now. And I just, so many times in my head, I'm like, ah, oh, I wish I could email with him, like, you know, email to like another, you know, dimension, because of all the things that are happening, you know, kind of politically, I'm just like, oh, I would love to, you know, be able to talk with him. But I think that having somebody who could help you just, you know, kind of instill, I think, confidence in you, help you navigate, you know, he would let me know about opportunities. There was an election for delegates to the Democratic National Committee. He told me about it, and I ended up running and being nominated as an at-large delegate. And I got to go to the 2004 Democratic National Committee on behalf of Georgia. I do think in part it was because I got, they like checked off a number of check marks with me. It was like, you know, Hispanic, student, woman, you know, but anyway, it just was, I just feel so fortunate to have had that. And I think I'm really grateful to have had that mentorship. What about you?
Well, I also have a similar experience, but now, thanks to the current efforts that the university is promoting every time into the diversity, equity, and inclusion, there's also the UGA mentor program was created, right? And through that, I believe I saw that the first time I heard about the UGA mentor program, because I also want to mention that I transferred here when it was in 2020. That was not such a big luck for me. Yes, I know. It's like, yeah, it was bad. It was really hard to connect, to learn about different organizations. It was really hard to convert to online classes. There were so many challenges that I was like, oh my God. But thankfully, the university made great efforts into helping the students to let that transition go smoother. So, well, in 2020, no much activity, 2021 neither. So I remember I saw one time in the email about, I saw the UGA mentor program. So I was like, okay, let's see. Since I was in that time where I was like, okay, I'm a finance, I'm going to be a finance major. And usually people talk about investment banking or consulting or, you know, middle markets, global markets, wealth management, things like that. And I was like, okay, investment banking is well mentioned here. So I want to learn more about that. How is it like, not just only from a class perspective, but from someone that is in that industry? So I, in the UG and the mentor program website, there's so many filters that you can find. And what I looked for is was someone that was in the investment banking industry. I found that person and he was like 1-2 years older than me. So we were pretty young as well. He was just a recent graduated student. And he, when I reached out to him, we met in person first and we were doing a casual conversation. And I just like an introduction first, just making sure we get to know each other, making sure we know what times work best for each one of us and how many times we want to meet. And then we start introducing himself, like what he did. And I start asking him questions. Do you like investment banking? How is it like? A lot of people, if you know, investment banking is the highest paying job out of the undergrad. You start at 100K. So everybody's like, oh, you know, no experience, almost no experience. But I mean, there are some strong requirements, so almost no experience, but you have to learn, I mean, know a little bit more. So no, hearing that out of college, you're going to be making 100K, you're going to be like, oh, it's appealing. So I was like, okay, let's see. There is also a price with it. Like there's long hours, almost 80, 90 hours. So I learned a lot of things about investment banking and I was like, okay, maybe might not be for me. Not for now. Since I am, well, I'm not trying to have children yet, but in the future, right? Maybe in the future. So I was like, maybe that doesn't go with me right now. And I was like, perfect. And I'm glad that he told me everything and was being transparent and honest. His name is Jeez Bennett. And so I appreciated that. And he helped me make that decision. Okay, that maybe not be for me. And I also learned that with a finance major, you can do everything that you can think of, everything, because I've discussed him like with a lot of things. And even though the 16-week mentorship passed, I literally was talking to him yesterday about, I had finance question, literally. And we were, he was helping me since he was part of the Student Management Investment Fund and organization in Terry for finance majors. So he is pretty well knowledgeable about the industry and the material. So I was like, okay, you know, could you explain me more about this? Help me more about this. And he's willing to do so. So even after the 16-week mentorship, our relationship kept growing and growing and we're still friends until now. So that has been so far amazing, an amazing experience.
If I can intersect with that, I think something that you brought up that I really want to amplify for maybe others who are watching is that you can connect with a mentor and talk with them about anything. And so you mentioned this like life work balance. And I always say life work balance instead of work life, because you should put your life first before work. But you know, you can, I had a, you know, one mentee who wanted to, you know, connect. We strategized about, he wanted to position himself in a place where he was able to land a campaign job. And so we kind of, you know, approached it as like a year sprint of like, you know, how would he set himself up for that? And happy to report he did. But I think that another mentee reached out to me and she just wanted to connect to like understand like, what is it like for you as a woman who, you know, do you have a family and what is it like and how has it been for you? And we were able to have like a really honest heart-to-heart conversation. And so yeah, I don't think that people necessarily need to limit it to thinking about, you know, can you help me with my resume or can you help me find an internship? You can actually use that to help understand, like, do you really want to go into this industry or do you want to focus on a different avenue? And I think it's really smart of you to have connected with someone to ask those questions and really want to echo that and recommend that others do that as well.
Thank you so much for that.
Well, we are near time and I'm glad that you did bring that up, Jen, because it is something we want to emphasize is that mentors are not just about reaching those career goals, but they're helping you to grow as a person. There's a lot of life lessons to be learned from mentors. And I think, Ariana, what you're saying is maybe your mentor is able to share some of the things that he, you know, experiences that he was like, okay, now looking back, maybe I would have chosen something different. Or so, you know, they get to share those mistakes as well as, you know, some of their triumphs and victories. But
yeah. Yeah. And I think too, right, like there's so much behind, I think that there's a lot of smoke and mirrors, and that sometimes I think a mentor can kind of reveal, you know, it's really posturing and about having confidence, and there's like, you know, and luck sometimes, and that, you know, you not getting accepted to this, to your point, Ariana, earlier, is not, you know, about you. It's about, you know, just luck and opportunity. And like, let's think through a way forward on like how we can find that right fit for you.
So I have one last question for the both of you. And it's, what piece of advice would you give to current Hispanic Latino students here at UGA about, you know, it could be anything from just being a student here at UGA to some of the things they might need to consider when leaving UGA and in achieving whatever goals they've set out for themselves.
So I will say, okay, I'm going to start in this question. One of the advices that I will say as a transfer student, first gen immigrant, person that didn't know anything or like nothing, any idea about anything, no high school background, no AP classes, no SAT score, no nothing, right? Networking and learning what it's out there, it's important. It has been important to me and it has helped me, because I can definitely say that they have put a lot of effort and they have invested into their progression for helping other students that may they belong to the minority communities to thrive. So, and I believe that is important. The opportunities are out there. Now, sometimes they may not come easily to you. We have to also put our part to look for them, what is out there. We have to be able to, we have to make sure that we learn what it's offered by our department, not always, maybe you're a grading major. What is in Grady? What is in Terry? You know, there's so many things out there that we sometimes don't know about, but just put that effort into the opportunities and looking for them will make a big difference in their results that you're going to have in the future.
I think perhaps my piece of advice would be that our identities are inherently intersectional. And so I think that it's a lens that, you know, I really encourage people to build, to, you know, kind of help create a more just society, but it also helps you to navigate the world more easily. Also, you know, sometimes that feeling of like, I'm not sure if I belong in this space, to like kind of flip that around and remember that you have this superpower ability to navigate in many spaces, and just know that like your existence is like a radical declaration of you know, the potentials and possibilities, and you know, your ancestors, you know, having made the trek to come here. And so I just want to just instill all the confidence and luck and goodwill into to students, and just, you know, really recommend that, like, you know, reach out and know that there are, you know, your gente, we're here, you know, so much hope for you and dreams for you, and however we can support you, we're here for you.
As a student part of the organization, I'm always trying to advocate that and making sure that they know that we're here for them.
Yeah, I think it's good, even with not having the full representation or as much representation as I think we would hope to see, just leaning on those around you is so important, and finding that sense of community wherever you are. And I love that Jen, you said to flip it around. Like, if you don't feel like there's a sense of belonging, like how can you work to create it around you with the people that you have? I want to say thank you to both of you for sharing your experiences, your stories with us today. I think there are a lot of valuable lessons and experiences that have been shared, and hopefully that resonates with a lot of the people who are tuning into this. For our students out there, you can potentially connect with Jen and other mentors like her who have again, like a really awesome history and wealth of experiences that they're really eager to share with you. So if you haven't already, you can check out the UGA Mentor Program at mentor.uga.edu. We have a ton of mentors that are eager and waiting for your connection. Thank you both so much for joining us today. And I hope you have a good rest of your week and a fabulous weekend.
Ariana, it's a gusto. So nice to meet you. And please keep in touch.
Okay, thanks, y'all. I appreciate it so much.
Real talk for real dogs.